following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
These are the sounds of crushed souls. The sounds of despair from former radio personalities languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio. And you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
Howdy, folks. Mangy Philox here with a Supreme Court update. The Supreme Court is tossing out their old black robes in favor of new uniforms they've got. Their old robes were too subtle to liven up rebuttal. Their new ones are described by some as hot. The new robes come in gold and are emblazoned with a large T displayed across the back. There's trim, red, white, and blue, 'cause what else would you do to prove you're there to keep Trump's bid on track? They are changing their name to, it's now the Trump Court. They help him out whenever things get tough. There are six who are inclined to kiss his bottom, and they smile because they just can't get enough. The new Trump Court has got a brand new slogan.
Yeah.
Justice delayed is what we're all about. They slow walk when it pleases to help their orange Jesus. Yeah. That they are in his pocket, there's no doubt. And that's what's going on with the Supreme Court.
Yeah, unfortunately. Thanks, Mangy Fetlocks. I'm Nicole Sandler, and I have a confession to make. Boy, did I screw up yesterday. You know, this just shows I really need a producer because they came out, the Supreme Court finally decided or announced their decision as to whether or not they will take up the former guy's ridiculous challenge to the prosecutions against him because he claims absolute immunity because he is a former occupant of the White House. And you know what I say to that, right? That is
bullshit.
It's just bullshit. But my problem comes in at about three, I started the show 3 o'clock Arizona time. Now, in a week or two, when everybody else changes their clocks, when they spring forward, we here in Arizona won't. But my show will not start at 3 Arizona time. It'll start at 2 Arizona time because the stupid time change has to affect me, right? So I'll lose an hour of show prep time. It just means I got to get to work earlier. You know, I'm up at 5 o'clock anyway. So, all right, I digress. I'm putting off the inevitable. So after the show ended, yeah, so I go on live at 3. I had a whole rundown of the news that had happened up until I went on the air at 3 o'clock local time. And then I had an interview scheduled with a rock journalist about, you know, female rock and rollers, which would have been fine any other day. Had I realized that at 3:19, an email hit my inbox telling me that the Supreme Court was going to hear the case on August, in the week of April 22nd. I'm like, I saw it the moment I got off the air because the first thing I do is, you know, I check my email to see if something happened that I needed to know about. Now, I understand that some of you, my regulars in the YouTube chat room, posted it in there. And as much as I try to monitor the chat room during the show, during a live show, I miss 90% of what goes on in there. So I didn't see it. This would have been the time for like a producer to text me or call me on my cell phone. Just alert me. Supreme Court is going to hear Trump's case. I would have dropped everything. I would have kindly told my guest that we needed to reschedule for another day because there was breaking news. But I didn't. And I felt so stupid. So I apologize, number one, for missing like the biggest story of the week in a week when there's a lot of news. But say never fear, because honestly, the real coverage of this story will be tomorrow. Because on Fridays, Marcy Wheeler is here. And frankly, nobody covers this story better than she does. Although there's a little bit of disagreement because, I defer to Marcy because I think she's a lot smarter than I am, number one. She's certainly much more well-read on all matters, law and government and stuff. This is her jam. I don't want to put words in her mouth. We'll hear her out tomorrow on, how much, if any, blame she puts on Merrick Garland for this development. Because what's going to happen now? You may recall this case. Judge Chutkan was supposed to start, I guess, jury selection next week. It was going to be March 5th. And then it got delayed and delayed. You see, today is leap day, an extra day. Now, we don't get to celebrate it as an extra day, as I think we should. Leap day that comes every 4 years should be a free day for all of us. Everything should be, up for grabs. I think there was a movie like that, The Purge, but I'm not suggesting we get to like commit crimes. We just get to play. You get a free day, but yeah, it's not picking up steam. Every 4 years I feel this way. But anyway, time, that's the one thing that we can't buy. We can't create more of, except it happens every 4 years. And if you're Donald Trump, you can game the system and bring frivolous lawsuits and appeals and use the court system and use your sycophants' money you can't buy time, but in Trump's case, he's buying delay, which is time. And why it took this extreme court 3 weeks to say, sure, we'll hear this case. I wish I could be a fly on the wall inside the chambers when these justices are talking about this stuff. Because I can pretty much guarantee that, again, in my mind, I can't guarantee anything. My belief is that, Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito are the ringleaders. I think the three Trumpers, the three illegitimate justices who were put on the court by the former guy, that would be Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and Amy Coney Barrett. I think that they are basically following the lead of the two, legacy bigots on the court. And Clarence Thomas, the fact that he is even, in on this, the fact that he has not recused himself and that there is no mechanism other than impeaching him to get him recused, to get him taken off the case, is just underscores our need for real judicial branch reform. And when I say judicial branch, I mean the Supreme Court. I'm stuck. The saying stuck between a rock and a hard place. I kind of feel like I'm there because I'm trying to keep my mental health in check. And to do that, I tune out from much of the news, certainly the TV news, because it's all one horse race, election horse race, both siderism. You know, it's ratings and commercials above all else. And I think they're all dishonest. I think none of these people, they're all, you know, they've all got their angle and they can't just report facts, no matter who you listen to. So I didn't watch much of the coverage last night. In fact, I watched almost none of it. But I did do some searching around the interwebs this morning, and I did hear Ellie Mastal. And Ellie, I really like Ellie Mastal. He's been on the show a number of times. And here's what he had to say. He's one of the people who speaks plain English. He doesn't mince words. He's also not a paid contributor of MSNBC or any other TV cable so-called news organization. Anyway, here's what he told someone.
Clarence Thomas doesn't want to die on that court, and he's getting old, and he's never going to retire during a Democratic president. So Clarence Thomas, one of the reasons why he's not recusing himself is that Clarence Thomas needs Trump to win again so Clarence Thomas can retire. And most likely, Sam Alito needs Trump to win again so Alito can retire instead of having to die on the bench. And so that's at least two of the nine who have a vested professional interest in seeing continued Republican hegemony over this country. And that's not the first time this has happened. As we all know, Sandra Day O'Connor wanted George Bush to be president and thus appointed him president in Bush v. Gore because she wanted to retire under a Republican president. This is how Republicans roll.
That's how Republicans rule. And it makes sense that Clarence Thomas, Alito, they don't want to retire while a Democrat is in the White House, because that means that the Democrat will be allowed to name their successor. And I guess, you know, it's a good thing for us that Mitch McConnell is bowing out, whatever's left of him to bow out, because we saw what happened the last time there was a Supreme Court opening with a Democrat in the White House. Yeah, I loved Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I held her in such high esteem, but she should have retired while Barack Obama could have replaced her. Now, I know neither one of us thought, I'm talking for you, but neither one of us thought that there was any way Donald Trump would win. But now we've seen when you screw around with the vote, anything is possible. I think my dog Jackson would have made a better president than Donald Trump. And, you know, he probably couldn't have won because he doesn't have the brain power to steal an election and accuse the other side of stealing it. But here we are. So Thomas and Alito will not retire, and they don't want to die on the court. Maybe they do. But that's the only way they're going to go, you know, as long as there's a Democrat in the White House. The Supreme Court is supposed to be apolitical. I know that's a pipe dream, but these justices, the name justice says something, right? These justices are supposed to be able to put the country above their one political leanings, two financial interests, three everything else. But they don't. This is the most corrupt court in my lifetime, certainly since I've been paying attention. So Rachel Maddow was on Chris Hayes last night, one of the few shows that I will still occasionally watch on MSNBC.
The cravenness of the court is evident in what they are doing with the pacing here, right? Like putting this off for 7 weeks, sitting on it for 2 weeks for no reason, obviously pushing all of the cases that they can push, pushing them to the point where Trump will be standing for election before any of us have heard the verdicts in any of those cases. Got it. It's the timing. But it's also the idea that the immunity thing is an open question, right? Is really presidential immunity an open question? Because what's the most famous pardon in American history? Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon once he had resigned and was a former president. Why did Gerald Ford pardon Richard Nixon? Quote, as a result of certain acts or omissions occurring before his resignation as president, meaning as a result of stuff he did while president, quote, Richard Nixon has become liable to possible indictment and trial.
Right.
Whether or not he shall be so prosecuted depends on findings of the appropriate grand jury and the discretion of the authorized prosecutor. So the idea that this is an open question, that it might be that a former president can never be tried for something that he did because he was president when he did it, is disproven by a plain reading of American history and the whole justification for Richard Nixon being pardoned in the first place. So the idea that this has to be taken up is them saying the sky is green.
Right.
And I think even for the non-lawyers among us to be able to say, you know what, the sky is not green even on our worst day, this is BS. You are doing this as a dilatory tactic to help your political friend, your partisan patron. And for you to say that this is something that the court needs to decide because it's something that's unclear in the law is just flagrant bullpucky. And they know it. And they don't care that we know it. And that's disturbing about the future legitimacy of the court.
You think? There is no future legitimacy of the court. This is the next step towards fascism. We do not have a legitimate court. Let me share with you a column. Now, I don't often read, share on the show. Anyway, I read her stuff. Jennifer Rubin is a columnist for The Washington Post. She's been there for years. She was a conservative voice until Trump came in. I guess she's still a conservative, but she knows who Trump is. So I guess you could call her a never Trumper. Whatever you want to call her, labels, whatever. But she wrote her piece today is titled What the Supreme Court Told Us. So here's what she wrote. It's not long. Supreme Court on Wednesday granted cert. I'll use the shortened version because it's easier to pronounce. Cert to hear four times indicted former President Donald Trump's claim that he has absolute immunity for official acts while he was in office. With oral arguments set for April 22nd, the prospect for a trial on charges related to election interference and the January 6th, 2021 insurrection to be completed before the election wanes considerably. One fascinating aspect is how the court defined the case. The court determined that the only question to be addressed is whether a former president enjoys, quote, immunity from criminal prosecution for conduct alleged to involve official acts during his tenure in office. That's an exact quote from the order from the court. Jennifer Rubin continues, the language is telling in a number of respects. Had the court entertained the possibility, the answer would be yes. For example, yes, he can order SEAL Team 6 to kill his enemies. Yes, he can exile his opponent in his re-election bid. It would have had to address subsidiary questions such as, was the president engaged in an official act? Or what is the ambit, of an official act? Only if the answer is no, that is affirming Judge Tanya Chutkan and the D.C. Circuit's unanimous ruling, would there be no need for further inquiry. The presence of the single question, she writes, tells us where the court is heading. Furthermore, if the court's order is limited to considering official acts, then special counsel Jack Smith almost certainly could effectively argue that Trump's attempt to overthrow an election for which he has no constitutional role must be deemed unofficial at the trial court level. That would allow Smith to proceed to trial. In other words, if the Supreme Court wanted to spare Trump, it simply would have asked, quote, is a president immune from criminal prosecution? In addition, she writes, the court framed the question with regard to a, quote, former president only. Again, this sets up the case to disadvantage Trump. After all, saying a president cannot be prosecuted either during or after his presidency would make him a king. As lower courts have held, no court has remotely approached this conclusion. To hold that a president could never be held to account for his actions, no matter how egregious, no matter if he had left office, would create a single class of individuals, criminal ex-presidents, immune from the law. though that might attract support from right-wing authoritarian-friendly justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, it defies imagination that Trump could accumulate 5 votes for such an outrageous proposition. Whether a trial could begin and finish before Election Day, we most certainly will have a decision addressing what is essentially his only defense. Quote, I cannot be punished for official acts. Interfering with my own election was an official act. Therefore, I go free. At the very least, she writes, if my analysis is correct, heading into an election, voters will know that this cannot possibly be the law. Voting for him would amount to allowing someone to go to trial, or already on trial, for serious crimes to waltz into the White House. You think? Meanwhile, she concludes, keep your eye out for a ruling on whether Trump is disqualified under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. My aside, Illinois just said it today. They said he can't be on the ballot. So this 14th Amendment question is still out there. All right, back to Jennifer Rubin, who finishes up. Though the letter of the Constitution suggests he should be, few think that is what the court will hold, especially after an oral argument in which no justice seemed inclined to knock him off the ballot. How the court rules, however, now takes on major significance. If, for example, the Supreme Court does not dispute that January 6th was an insurrection, it would leave unchallenged the Colorado Supreme Court's decision, the Maine Secretary of State's decision, and the January 6th House Select Committee's conclusions, and I guess now the Illinois courts, conclusions that he did instigate an insurrection. Refusing to spare Trump from the conclusion of those bodies and of the voters would speak volumes about how the justices regard his conduct. But if you listen to what Ellie Mostall said, I'm not sure that it's got anything to do with Trump. I have a feeling. Look, you don't get to the Supreme Court, whether I agree with your ideology or not. You don't get there if you're stupid. You don't get there without some kind of brain power to get through law school and make it all the way to the Supreme Court. You may be an idiot, but you're not stupid. These people know that Donald Trump is a grifter, a crook, a con man, and the only reason he's running again is because it's his only chance to kill many of these criminal prosecutions. The 91 criminal charges hanging over his head. And he can't kill all of them because some of them are state on the state level, like, well, the New York fraud case, which is starting this month. Well, you know, today should be March 1st, but it's February 29th. But in March, I think it's March 25th is the date. So that's going forward. Trump, president or not, can't do anything about it because it's a state level prosecution. Georgia, though they're trying with this whole Fannie Willis nonsense, is a state level prosecution. Even if Trump got back into the White House, just the idea freaks me out. Even if he got back into the White House, nothing he could do about that either. But the classified documents case in Florida, where Judge Cannon finally ruled against him on something, not that it means anything, she keeps delaying it, or this Jack Smith case. Those are the federal cases. Remember, there's 4 separate criminal cases brewing against him. Jack Smith was supposed to be starting, I guess, jury selection next week. The best we can hope for now is that the Supreme Court hears this immunity nonsense challenge on April 22nd, that by the beginning of the next week, they rule on it and say, no, you idiot, you do not have absolute immunity. Although, again, they are so politicized, so political, these extreme injustices, that they want a Republican in office. I don't think they care if it's Donald Trump or someone else. I don't think they're stupid enough. As I said, they're not stupid to think that Trump belongs in the White House. He's a grifter. He's a con man. But they do want someone with an R next to their name. Because look how rich Clarence Thomas has gotten off of this system. I don't know. So, you know, that's where we are. I have no idea what the court's going to rule. And I guess we will find out a little bit more tomorrow. Marcy Wheeler, you know what? I'm going to give you a preview of a clip she sent me. She asked me if I would pull this for tomorrow. I'll give you a little heads up. It's a clip from, I got to see if I have it on my wall of sound. Well, I didn't put it up yet because I wasn't going to use it till tomorrow. But it's from the D.C. Circuit Court hearing. Remember the three-judge panel that unanimously ruled, of course Donald Trump doesn't have immunity. That's nonsense. And they took their time and wrote this one decision under all three names that many people thought the Supreme Court is just going to let that stand because it covers all the bases. They did such a good job. But yeah, that's not what happened here. So this is from that hearing. And this is the section that Marcy Wheeler said, I believe this is why they issued cert. Or said they'd take up the hear the case.
Your brief, you raised some sort of lesser immunity potentially applying. Want to speak to that?
I do. We don't think that's comes into play here. I think the point was in some sort of more challenging cases, it might be that where a president is operating under extraordinary time pressure has to make a very difficult kind of national security type of decision. You know, do I go in and commit this kind of, do we order the drone strike under these circumstances? You know, a president will often have a cadre of lawyers to advise him or her. The lawyers say, Madam President, we'll get you a memo in 2 months. That's not gonna be enough in that situation. If there were a drone strike, civilians were killed, that theoretically could be subject to some sort of prosecution as murder. I think that might be the kind of place in which the court would properly recognize some kind of immunity.
That is the clip. We're talking about the drone strike and the immunity. The fact that they left that sort of loophole hanging, Marcy said, she asked me to pull that clip specifically. So come back tomorrow and we'll hear Marcy Wheeler's take on why the court would even take this up. And she believes it has to do with that. By the way, Clarence Thomas, I'm glancing over at the chat room. Civic Folly 86 says, Clarence should take John Oliver's offer. Plus, it's a nice $2.5 million yacht on wheels. In case you didn't hear, John Oliver offered Clarence Thomas $1 million a year. Plus this $2.5 million bus. Oh, I'm sorry, motor coach. That is nicer than my home. To step down from the court. This is what he wants. He wants the money, but he wants the power too. And the fact that he will not recuse himself while his wife was not only complicit in January 6th, she was there. She was with Trump at his rally when he's like, we're going to want to march to the Capitol together. Oh, my God. I don't know what world we're living in. Well, I know what world we're living in. I don't know what country we're living in anymore. And that's why this election is so important. You know, I heard the guy who wrote, I don't remember his name, the guy who wrote The Art of the Deal with the former guy, you know, his ghostwriter, the guy who actually wrote it. He is so convinced that if Trump somehow gets back in office, his threats of retribution will be reality. They won't be just threats. And he's already making plans to leave the country. I got to tell you, David and I have said we're now in Arizona. We're not too far from the Mexican border. I would like to take a day trip sometime in the next couple of months to explore where over the border we can go. If anybody knows of some nice expat communities in Mexico, let me know, because we may wind up there. Because I'll tell you this, if Donald Trump somehow gets back into the Oval Office, I'm out of here too. And he doesn't know me from Adam. There's no reason he would want to exact his retribution on me, except he's one of those, well, he's the only president that I know of who ever said that he only represents the people who voted for him. Everyone else is an enemy. If Donald Trump gets back into office again, and believe me, I do not think it will happen legitimately, but they don't know legitimate. All they do is lie, cheat, and steal and accuse us of doing that. That's the opposite world faction in there. So Environmental Coffee House says Costa Rica looks nice, but I'm not leaving. Costa Rica looks wonderful, just too expensive. I don't have the money to do that. We can drive across the border into Mexico. That's why I'm saying Mexico. Keeping all the options open. Oh, I think it's time for a triple today. I don't know about you, but I could use I could use a good stiff one. And you take that however you want to take. Just as it was coming out of my mouth, I realized what it was going to sound like. And it's like, well, okay. That too. Whoops. Oh, no. Hold on. This one.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're going to love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
It would help if I turn my microphone on. Hey, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. How you
I'm doing okay. It's a mixed bag of weird news this week. On the one hand, I'm happy Mitch McConnell is finally, you know, stepping down. On the other hand, you know, be careful what you wish for, because who knows what could come behind him. You would think that it can't get much worse than Mitch McConnell, but actually it can, can't it?
No.
No?
Not really.
Really? Okay, good. Tell me. Make me feel better.
Okay. Well, it's not going to make you feel better. It's so horrible and capable that it's unlikely that anyone is going to be worse. By the way, I'm hearing an echo. I don't know if people who are listening are, but I'm hearing myself. Okay.
No, you sound okay.
Anyway, it's better now.
Okay.
So the thing is that he's the most disliked person in American politics. Polls have been showing that consistently for at least 10 years. And it's going to take quite a while for somebody else to be able to do that job competently once they even pick someone. They're already fighting.
Yep.
So, of course, the conventional wisdom is that it would be the three Johns. Trump has already thrown he's thrown his weight, but he's been encouraging Steve Daines of Montana to jump into the race. Whatever is going to happen, it's going to be bad for the Republicans, worse for them than they have it now, and that means better for normal people.
Look, you know, if not for Mitch McConnell, the court would look wholly different today. I believe it was him. You know, he's the one who made the decision to say, oh, no, we're not going to give Merrick Garland here. We're not even going to talk to him. No, there's almost a year left in Barack Obama's term, but that's too close. I don't think anybody else would have, one, had the balls to do it, and two, had the mechanism to do it. Or maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe. I don't know either, of course. There's no way to know that. But it's likely that, you know, there are a number of them who would have tried that we don't know if anyone could have pulled it off. He, you know, as much as we don't like him, he was a consummate operative who knew how to do his job really, really well. He was really good at what he did. Unfortunately, what he did was mostly really, really evil. A terrible person. Will his, you know, his legacy will be, for as long as it's remembered, will be almost totally negative. You know, grassroots Republicans hate him.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, to hear some of them, the MAGA crowd in Congress, you know, Trump's cabal, talking, well, I forget who said it, but one of them I heard today said, well, good, now we can replace him with an actual Republican instead of, you know, the Democrat sympathizer or some nonsense like that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Certainly, you know, Gates was carrying on. He was one of the first ones to, you know, open his trap and start, you know, putting him down. But, you know, yes, the MAGA crowd doesn't like him. But they don't like him because, not because he's not conservative. They don't like him because he and Trump don't get along.
Right.
And he's not, I mean, there's nothing good that I would say about Mitch McConnell, except, you know, that he was good at what he did, which was evil. He did evil well.
Right.
But, you know, the MAGAs don't like him because he and Trump didn't get along. He still delivered for Trump when push came to shove. I don't remember one time when he didn't deliver for Trump. So, you know, I don't know why they're crying so much. I mean, I kind of do know why they're crying, but it's a sickening. The whole thing is sickening.
And apparently, you know, Mitch McConnell hasn't endorsed Trump. Not that it means anything, but he's considering it. I still go back to January 6th, when he stood on the floor wearing his mask and saying Trump is responsible, he will be held accountable in a court of law. It's that brief moment, tiny brief moment in history when they came back in to certify the election that I thought our long national nightmare might be ending.
Brief moment. You hit it right on the head.
Yep.
Very tiny, brief moment.
And Lindsay, you know, all in his drunkenness. I'm done. I've had it. I was with him. Now I can't do it anymore. Right. What pictures did he pull out?
Go, girl.
Yeah. And here we are. The Supreme Court. What the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, that's the real disaster. I mean, I don't know. You can't possibly be surprised.
No, although, you know, the question was so absurd. Sorry. Does a former president enjoy immunity? No. And the fact that his lawyer in the D.C. appeals court, you know, hearing of this case, floated the idea that he could, I think, or was it one of the judges who asked the question? Either way, his attorney said, yeah, he could order SEAL Team 6 to go assassinate his political opponent and not be charged with any crime. Well, that's such a simple answer.
Go there.
Right? Why would they even bring this up? Why would they even consider it when that is one of the options placed on the table?
Yeah. It's disgusting. I am absolutely certain that the Supreme Court will find that he does not have that kind of immunity, that that's not the case. I'm certain of it. But what they're doing now is something different. And you know what that is. They're stalling and giving
it's
him
time.
An opportunity to get rid of this whole thing. That's really what's happening.
They're giving him time. And it's so interesting that we're talking about this today because it's leap day. And I was saying at the beginning, you can't buy time. Like you can't ever, there's a finite amount of time, except for this one day every 4 years. We have an extra day. An extra day wouldn't be a big deal. This is extra months given to this criminal that could see him back in the White House because most of the American public doesn't pay attention to what's going on. If they were, if he were convicted of a crime in a court of law, they'd probably hear about it. And research says that it would hurt him at the polls. Now, with some people, it would bolster his popularity, but for the most part, it would hurt him. But so the Supreme Court is giving him the gift of time to keep most of America in the dark and maybe put this criminal back in office. And again, I don't think it's about Donald Trump. I think it's the fact that he's got an R next to his name and they might want to retire at some point. Maybe Clarence Thomas wants to take John Oliver's very generous offer to retire, but he wants to make sure he'll be replaced by a Republican president.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Ugh. How did we get here? God, it's just, it's depressing. I need one of those.
How did you get here? Ask Vladimir Putin how we got here.
He doesn't talk to me anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's just going to think the next time you have him on, you can
ask. I'll ask. Sure. I'll do a tougher interview than my pal Tucker did. Oh my God! So let's talk elections here for a second. Now McConnell's not stepping down from his seat, even though he has these brain freezes. And did you see him yesterday? We haven't seen much of Mitch McConnell lately. He looks really gaunt and unhealthy. I think there's something seriously wrong there. But
it looks like he lost a lot of weight.
His turtle chin is gone. He's so gaunt. He was so thin. You know, that big pouch under his chin is missing. That's such a stark difference in his appearance. But no, there's got to be something seriously wrong. But he's not going to leave the Senate because, you know, why should he? You know, because nobody leaves the Senate. You just wait until they die. But this underscores the importance of November's elections because whoever takes his place, McConnell said it during his announcement that he was resigning, will take over the leadership. And it's very possible because the electoral map favors the Republicans this cycle.
It does. And that's right. And whether the person who wins becomes minority leader or majority leader, they're going to be in charge of the Republicans for the next few years.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no good prospects. There's worse prospects, but there's no good prospects.
Ugh, God. You know, in one of my, I go through a ton of stuff online and I pull out stories that I might want to talk about. And there's one, I don't even know where this came from, but here's a quote from one of the newspapers or news organizations. The GOP enjoys a favorable electoral map this cycle with the five most likely seats to flip held by four Democrats and independent Kyrsten Sinema, increasing the likelihood the winner becomes majority leader. Now, somebody, who was it? John Barrasso, one of the Johns who's vying for McConnell's gig, is in Arizona today for a rally with Carrie Lake. Oh, God. Carrie Lake, who's, you know, running to...
She's a candidate. They're all going to try to help her.
Oh, my God.
You know, their job is to, not to do the right thing for the country, they think, but to try to, you know, win Republican seats. She's their nominee. That's it. You know, there's no more questioning after that.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I met Ruben Gallego last week. I went.
Oh, yeah?
I ventured out to with my, I guess, my future in-law. She's very, very involved with, you know, Maricopa County politics. And although she lives in Tempe and I live in Chandler, we're in the same legislative district. So she brought me as her guest.
Wait a second. Yes. Let me interrupt you for a second. What do you mean your future in-law? Who's getting married?
David's son. David's
bonus
son.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that.
Yes.
I was like... shocked about your daughter was out there for like a week and she's already getting married.
No, Allison's not getting married anytime soon. But Max, my bonus son, and his significant other, Christine, they're going to get married, they say, I hope. So anyway, Christine's mother is very plugged in to local politics. And so she brought me with her on Saturday to this event. And I was so, Howie, you would have been thrilled. It was a great group of people. in at somebody's home, a fundraiser for, you know, the legislative district. Ruben Gallego was there. But the thing was, I forget what it was called. It was something like Decadence and Democrats. And it was champagne and desserts. It was all, and people who attended all brought these amazing desserts and pastry. In every room, there were tables filled of, oh my God, it was nuts.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was really, it was nice. And it was packed. There were a lot of people there, and I got to meet a lot of people. But you'll enjoy this story. So when we got there, and sorry, the listeners heard this already. I'll try to make it quick. So when we got there, you know, at the there was a registration table out front. And I see this woman and I'm thinking, my God, she looks just Annette Tadeo is here. Why is Annette Tadeo here?
Ow.
Right. And then I see her name tag and it was Claire or Carla or something. It's like, oh, it's not Annette Tadeo. OK, looks just like her. Go inside. See Ruben Gallego, and he's, of course, surrounded by a bunch of people. So I make my way over there because, you know, I do that. And I hear him talking to this woman, and I hear him saying, you're a doppelganger. You look just like her. I got to take a picture to show her. And I, of course, I say, Annette Tadeo, right? And he looks at me and he like grabs onto my arm. He's like, yes, Annette Tadeo. So we bonded. Over.
Oh, good. Oh, fantastic.
So I invited him on the show and introduced myself. So hopefully he'll, you know, be joining us sometime in the near future. But I got to thank Annette Tadeo for having a, you know, lookalike out here. But
right.
But I was very heartened that it's a really active, vibrant, friendly, fun group of people, because all I know is the few like Democratic club meetings that I went to in Florida were all just like snore and no action and no excitement. And these people are plugged in, and I left there feeling really good about it.
Yeah, well, of course, because I mean, the polling is really good and the likelihood that Gallego is going to win is high.
Yeah.
And they certainly all feel that way. So, you know, they're you know, that will attract more people and make everybody excited. And that's
yes.
great.
Right. And I feel like I might have a community here. I'm excited. You know, I was worried moving to Arizona that it's going to be very Trumpy. And I got to tell you, I'm pleasantly surprised. My neighborhood, I live right by this, a couple of blocks from this huge park that has an elementary school in the middle of it. And I walk Jackson around it every morning. We go, it's like a mile and a half. So I do. And there's,
nice.
Yeah. And there's, and the weather is perfect. You know, it may be rough over the summer for a couple of months, but I'll tell you something. I know I'm not supposed to say this because locals get mad. They don't want more people moving here because traffic's pretty bad, but the weather, I couldn't ask for anything better. It's like 70 degrees and no humidity. And it just, it's so comfortable. So I'm loving all that. But anyway, I walk Jackson and there's one house that I see that has these Trump signs, two Trump signs out front. It's been there since I got there. But I was very heartened that as I keep walking around the park, there's a sign, you know, this park adopted by Dems Give Back. So it's like, okay, yeah, there are Democrats here. I'll be okay. And I haven't noticed.
Do you know?
I forget his name. We've talked about him before. I'll look it up. I'm gonna find out.
Oh, I know. It must be Stanton, right?
Yes, that's it, Stanton. And I haven't met him. You said
he's a fairly conservative Democrat, relatively, but I mean not terrible.
Right, and I'll take him over.
And he was the mayor of Phoenix at one time.
Okay. So yeah, I'm still learning my way around. But I did meet, you know, there at this event last Saturday, this Arizona State Senate Minority Leader, a woman named Mitzi, who's going to come on the show, and I met my local assembly person, and they all seemed great. They were friendly and, you know, normal people. So it's you know, I
feel, right, not like Florida.
Not like Florida. I'm telling you, Florida, and my now former congressman is making a lot of noise, but I still don't like him. Jared Moskowitz is, boy, making a name for himself, isn't he?
Horrible. Yeah. I mean, he's like Jared Goldman. I mean, not Jared Goldman. What's his name?
Dan
Goldman.
Dan.
They're good when it comes to, you know, attacking Republicans.
Right.
But when it comes to policy, they're not very good.
Right. I like Dan Goldman better than Jared Moskowitz because he doesn't seem like such a jerk.
No, he is.
I'll believe you. So, Howie Klein, I got to say, you know, there's a mixed bag of news, but one of the things that's happening, like, I guess it's signs have been leading to this massive layoffs in the music industry. I thought they were making
again?
Money. Again, you didn't see this.
No.
Universal, huge cuts at Universal. You know, there's only what, three labels left? Is that what it is? It's Universal, Sony, and BMG.
And Warner Brothers.
And Warner Brothers, right? Four. So, but you apparently Universal is just slashing jobs, like another bloodbath going on. And
yeah, well, they were over. The other companies have already done that.
I see.
So I don't know if it's going to be industry wide, but Universal hadn't done it to the extent. I mean, Warner Brothers went from, you know, we had a big building with four floors and it was all full. Every office was full. And there was, you know, there was talk about not having enough room often to just basically just, you know, we call it an apartment now that they have, but it's not quite that, but it's just a hallway.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of sad. But it's, yeah. It is what it is. So I just pulled up down with tyranny.com and,
Did you know Norman?
I did not know it. Who? Tell me about Norman Davis. I didn't know him.
So that's what the post is about. And Norman Davis was a legend in San Francisco. He was the overnight guy. And the reason I wrote the post was because, you know, I was always very, very proud of the fact that I started the first commercial punk rock radio station in the country. The fact of the matter is that it was really Norman's idea to start it, not mine, and not my partner, Chris Knobs. We did it together, but it was Norman's show, and he thought of it. As it turned out, you've done overnights, I'm sure, at some point in your career, right?
I never did overnights. I'm very lucky in that.
Right, I did. That's how I started with overnights.
Most do.
And,
or did.
You know, he gets lonely, and you know, you want listeners and you want company.
Yep.
And that's what Norman wanted. You know, he was a veteran. He had been around for a very long time in the record business, not just in San Francisco, where we met him, but in many places, even Idaho. But he, he came up with this idea. My partner Chris, did you know Chris?
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, he had a record store in San Francisco right next to Harvey Milk's camera store. Mm-hmm. And Harvey and I were friends. And here's this record store next door. And I started going in and hanging out. And eventually Chris and I got to be good friends. And we became partners in 415 Records. But we also did this radio show with Norman. And Norman came into the store one day and said to Chris, "Hey, you've got all these great singles. We're not playing any of this stuff at KSN. Why don't you come on the radio show?" And it went from one show to a weekly show. After a couple of times that Chris did it, he said, "You know, let me bring Howie Klein on. He knows all the local bands and he knows the national bands. It'll make a big difference." So I started doing the show also. And, it was very, very successful. The picture that you're looking at is a picture of Norman and me and Chris. And then the two rock and roll guys are Steve Jones and Paul Cook from the Sex Pistols.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's, you know, there's also a...
For those, you know, I put the picture up on the screen. For those wondering, Howie is the guy standing in the back on the right wearing the sweater, apparently, one color. Can't tell because it's a black and white photo, but that's you.
Yes.
Took me 2 minutes.
And right underneath me is Chris Knob, my partner. Okay. And there you go.
And Norman's wearing
so
an Ultravox
shirt. I just got in the mood for writing about it because Norman died the other day, last month, actually.
You know, this is, I hate to say it, this is just, it's a terrible time. Because as we get older, on a weekly basis, we're losing friends and colleagues and idols.
The artists that we grew up listening to and in our case, playing.
I know. It's like every time you turn around. So yesterday, the news, Richard Lewis died, and it's very sad. I never had a connection with Richard Lewis. Met him a couple of times, wasn't a huge fan. I feel bad, though, because these are our contemporaries, and they're
dying. You know John Amato, right?
I know John
my
Amato,
partner
sure.
in Blue America.
Right, who runs Crooks and Liars.
Right, very close with Richard Lewis at one time. Very, very close. Mm.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, this hits close to home because all these people that we've known and, again, grown up with, it happens. So it's a, you know, it's part of the circle of life. But it, when it happens like this, there was a meme on social media a week or two ago that had a list of artists who are still actively touring who are over like 75. And I saw like some people posted, well, where's Bruce Springsteen? He's not 75 yet. There's a lot of them. And, you know, it's so wild that the Rolling Stones are on tour and they're in their 80s. So,
yep.
Yeah.
When you started talking about that, I thought you were going to say people in their 80s.
Yeah. Well, people older than 75. And again, I don't have the list here because I didn't think we were talking about it. But yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yep.
You just know what's coming. And I'm dreading it. I'm really dreading the next few years. But I guess we brace ourselves for it. And it's a way to remember fondly the people that we've grown up with.
Yep.
The great thing about music, though, musicians is, you know, if we don't know them personally and they die, yes, it's a loss because they're not going to make any more music, but we still have their music. So,
right.
You know, that lives on forever.
Right. In most of the cases, not all of the cases, but in most of the cases, you know, are we really interested in the future, in the, you know, the music that they make anyway, you know, by the time they're 80,
they're
probably not doing their best work anymore. But I mean, you know, I still get like tremendous pleasure listening to The Doors, Jimi Hendrix,
mm-hmm.
Otis Redding, Janis Joplin,
right.
You know, and what you say, you know, that music is still around and still relevant,
right.
And still inspiring people.
And of course, I love going to see, hear live music. And as I'm looking for concerts that I want to go to, the ones that I'm gravitating towards, the shows coming up that I'm either getting tickets to or trying to get free tickets to, are Sarah McLachlan's out with a 30th anniversary of Fumbling Towards Ecstasy tour. Which blows my mind because I remember when that came out. We played it on the air in Los Angeles. Todd Rundgren's still touring. I go see him anytime because I love Todd. Joe Jackson is still touring. I love Joe Jackson.
Ow.
He's in his 70s and he never puts on a bad show. I've seen him, you know, in terms of artists, I've seen more than anyone else, probably Springsteen, Jackson Brown, and Joe Jackson. And he's playing the Celebrity Theater in a few months, and I'll probably go again. But he's in his 70s. You know, it's like, all right, you go until you can anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
That's Mitch McConnell's
I guess, just want to retire. That happens, too, every now and then.
Right. And some
especially if you can't stay on top of your game.
Yeah. Well, and that's,
like
you know,
just said, I mean, Joe Jackson is on top of his game. That's
really
great to hear.
Is. He really is. His last album was apparently, he took some artist from, like, the 1930s and redid his song. So the first half of the show is Joe Jackson solo doing his hits, just him. And then he brings on this big band to do these other songs. But he's done that on a bunch of albums. He did an album called Jump and Jive, which was all big band stuff.
Oh, that was great.
It
yes,
was
I remember.
Awesome.
That.
And he's done that. He did like I'm losing it, but he's done similarly experimental things before. I haven't listened to this new album yet, but he's so brilliant in concert that it's, you know, I don't care what he's playing, I go hear him. So it's good we can still enjoy that stuff. We got to take the pleasures in life where we can get them these days with everything else that's going on. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. While you're there, you go to downwithtyranny.com in the upper right-hand corner. There's an About tab. Hover over that and click on Donate or go to the Blue America PAC. You'll find all the candidates that the Blue America PAC has endorsed, and you can help support them there because they need your help.
Thank you.
Thank you. Howie, I'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
You too. Bye. All right. Tomorrow, Marcy Wheeler's here. And yes, we will deal with the extreme court. I will be preparing between now and 10 a.m. tomorrow morning when Marcy and I record. and I promise you, it'll be a good one. All right. And I'll double check the tech and hopefully exile the gremlins. Knocking on wood laminate. All right. I'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Peace out.